Dear friends, in Christ our Savior, just consider for a moment this woman at the well and put yourself in her life, in her shoes, but in our day, our time. Your day is moving along as you're used to. You're doing what you always do and pretty much have done for quite some time, repeating your habits and patterns because they pretty much worked for you. Nothing to get excited about, nothing awe-inspiring or challenging. But then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, surprisingly, someone comes into your life and changes everything. That encounter takes place, and no doubt it takes you some time to process it, to think it through. And it may take the perspective of time to fully realize that things are now different. But in that pregnant moment, something new, something unexpected, something now ever with you was planted and began to grow. And now life itself is altered because you have been changed, and you'll never be the same, and you can never go back. Now, for you, perhaps it may have come through spoken or read words, maybe through some gnawing, persistent internal turmoil, maybe from an experience or encounter that rocked all of your expectations and assumptions. But that time, that moment, has somehow created or forced to come forth a new you. Now, of course, I understand that those kinds of really memorable moments are few and far between. You don't have many of those to look back on. And maybe some of you were challenged to even come up with something in your own life that might connect with this Samaritan woman's experience. When I think on my own, they don't really sound all that exciting. A short, maybe 10-minute conversation with my mother after a confirmation class, believe it or not, in which the fullness of God's presence and love became very real to me. Or my call into the ministry, which if you were to view from the outside was uneventful, but came forth from God as a result of a lot of questioning and soul-searching inside. For some of you, maybe your confirmation day or the day of your baptism, if that took place later in life, might come to mind as your memorable encounter with the Lord Himself. You have become different, and your relationship with others and your outlook on life itself has been changed. Those are unique and notable times, and that's exactly what we're looking at here in our gospel lesson with the account of Jesus and the woman of Samaria. This unnamed woman was most likely going about her everyday routine, heading out to the community well in order to pick up her daily supply of water. But having read the lesson already, we know something about her that may slant our view. She was coming out at the sixth hour, that is about midday, that is the heat of the day, an unusual time, because she was likely regarded as something of an outcast because of her morals and relationships, which Jesus speaks of later on. She was trying to avoid people, to avoid attention, to avoid the stigma and possible nasty words that might come at those busier times of the day. And she'd likely been doing this for quite some time, because Jesus mentions that she had been caught up in this lifestyle and involved over the course of time with five husbands, and even now was together with another man. It would seem that she was thirsty for love, thirsty for connection and relationship, thirsty for acceptance, thirsty for something as simple, perhaps, as meeting her daily needs. But here she was, cut off from friends, cut off from respectable society, here by the well, alone. She knew within herself that all was not right in her life, and that she had a deep need and was thirsty to find hope in some solution, but had no clue where to go, where to turn to find help, or to find what that solution might be. And so here she is, just doing what she's been doing, expecting the same results, but surprise! Who is this stranger? And Jesus interrupts her routine with his very presence, and then with his words, "Give me a drink." What? What is this all about? Now, the woman is probably not all that good or versed in social conventions, the things that are acceptable or not, but it would appear to her that this Jew knows even less than she does, and so she asks, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" As our text says, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. But as you heard the lesson, our Lord uses this unique occasion and encounter to prod and to prompt so much more from the woman. Jesus is there with her, and he sees her, and he knows her. He touches her life to the core and addresses her deepest hopes and needs. And so the topic moves quickly from Jesus' own thirst and his apparent need for the woman to help him to the woman's deep thirst for something more meaningful, more lasting, more permanent, the life-giving and thirst-quenching living water that only the promised Messiah himself, the Christ, could bring. Jesus tells her, "Everyone who drinks of this water that you draw will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up even to eternal life." Wow, what an amazing promise. And so we see in the text this woman moves from at first trying to stiff-arm Jesus, "Why are you asking me for a drink?" to conversing with Jesus, now able and eager to hear what he has to say, to respecting Jesus as a prophet and worthy of her spiritual questions, convinced of her own sinfulness and needs, and then finally to believing in Jesus as the Messiah and her Lord, which actually takes place in the text after the lesson, when the woman at last overcomes her social isolation and excitedly shares the message of Jesus as the Savior with the whole Samaritan village. That is quite a change that took place within this woman's life, isn't it? And it happened because she encountered Jesus, and Jesus saw her as others had not, as one thirsty for something more. And Jesus spoke with her and challenged her and met her where she was at, and offered her the promise of so much more, of the thirst-quenching living waters that come forth through faith in him as the Savior of the world. But best of all, as her Savior. And as Jesus said, as Jesus had promised her, she received living water from our Lord, and that spring of living water welled up within her and became a never-ending fountain, leading to everlasting life. That very small and momentary and seemingly random meeting of a lonely, thirsty woman and the Lord Jesus at a well in Samaria had extraordinary and life-changing consequences for herself, her lifestyle, her social connections, and even for her entire town. For later on in our lesson, we learn that Jesus himself stayed with them for 2 days, and the people there then bear witness, "We have heard for ourselves the message of this man, and now we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. My friends, you and I too, in some manner, have likely had our own especially meaningful and unique encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are times that God places across your path surprising and unexpected opportunities to learn, to grow in faith, to connect and be uplifted by others, and to offer that yourself, and to witness of God's love and God's mercy, his gracious forgiveness, and his great solution to the thirst that you have for meaning and purpose and for friendship even with God himself. But if you will see them, God also grants to you weekly and even daily openings to hear his voice in the scriptures, to reflect on and to repent of your sins, to receive the glorious flow of God's forgiveness, and to be seen and known and loved by God through the word and work of his Son, Jesus. You and I are thirsty. The world is thirsty each day for these essentials that only God, only our Messiah, can provide. You know, I have wondered to myself at times, and wonder especially with this account, what was the ongoing flow of that story? That is exactly how the woman's life was changed day to day, how the village responded in a continuous way to the knowledge that the Messiah himself was now present in the world. Because you and I know too, don't we, that that's where the rubber meets the road. That's the practical aspect of our faith. What does faith in Jesus as my Savior mean to me here and now and today? How does it change my routines, my connections with others, the choices that I make, the language that I use, the thoughts that I allow or overrule with God's help? Those great and gracious encounters that God brings into my life, like that of the woman at the well, they may set me out on the right path or knock and redirect me back to that precious relationship that he has initiated through my baptism and maintained in my walk with the Lord. But even after a great and mighty thirst is quenched with the most satisfying drink, hours later, a day later, I thirst again and again and again. And so that's why our Lord provides not just a drink to revive and to see me on my way, but a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life. And that never-ending and reliable spring for us is God's word, which lifts us up and revives us, and God's forgiveness in Jesus, available each day as we come to him, and especially in his supper, through Christ's own presence in word and sacrament. We receive the gifts of God, and our thirsty soul is quenched. May we display in our lives that we also have encountered the living Lord as our Messiah and continue to drink from the living waters each and every day. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.